Blog Talk Radio.
May 2nd, 2021, and welcome again. It's always a blessing to make another day, especially a day like this. I'm talking about such a sensitive subject, but as you get straight into it, I had a family member that passed about a month ago. My Uncle Ted, life of the party, funnest guy in the room. Smart guy, down-to-earth guy, but an alcoholic. You have to do that. I don't think you do it justice to people to just tell everybody a good thing about that person when they pass. I think you owe it to the person to be honest about who they were, because I would want you to be honest about me when it's my time to go. But yeah, death is weird, and he was an awesome uncle. We weren't as close as I would like to have been, but we were close enough. He talked to my mother every day, and I talked to my mother every day, almost, I think five or six days a week. Point is, it's a sad thing. I haven't had a death in my family, like someone is close, because death is weird in the sense that you hear somebody, like a famous person, die, famous person that died in the last year or some change. The biggest name was Kobe Bryant, right? You hear something like that. And I said this before because I had a friend in high school that passed in between his time, and I felt a certain way. When you hear Kobe die, it hurts because, if you're into sports, you know who he was, you feel some type of way, especially the way it happened for him, right? I had a family member. I had a person in high school I talked about last that died, and I felt a certain way about that because I spent time with him. I actually talked to him. I actually had conversations. Recently, no. Within the last 10 years, I may have had two conversations with him, and it was very short. But then when my uncle died, that hit me. That hit me. And so it's just weird how death will, it's levels to the to who dies, to how important it is to you and how it will affect you. And like I said, I wasn't super close to my uncle, but he talked to my mother every day, and I'm very close to my mother. So it just kind of, you know, the vibrations of that linked over to me. And as an adult, I haven't had somebody that close to me pass in a while. And I thought by now, because I mean, I've been an adult forever. I'm in my 30s, so I've been an adult forever. But I thought as I aged, I would process it a lot better. And I think I'm just a little emotional, a little. I don't think I'm super duper emotional. But I get on here and start talking, so there's got to be some emotional thing going on there. And it's hard for me to be at funerals. I remember walking up to his casket and just thinking about it now. That stuff always gets me. I can't look at a dead family member or someone that's passed that's been close to me and get that close to the casket and think to myself, huh, well, you lived a good one, buddy. I almost break down each time. I did it. I'm going to tell you when I broke down. I get personal. My mother gave me the news that he was on life support. I was at work, and I sat there at my desk. I thought about it for about 5 minutes, and I went back to work. And my brain is constantly trying to go back to it, right? And I'm constantly trying to get my brain to go back to doing work. So I'm fighting with it, right? But I finally finished up what I need to finish up. And I was like, yeah, I should go home and get my family, you know, because this is just – I can't focus right now work-wise. And so I walked past the lady at the front desk, and she, you know, me and her talk, and I, you know, she's, oh, you leaving us? Yeah, my uncle's on life support. And I just broke. I broke right there. You know, that feeling? Yeah. I broke right there in front of her. I felt terrible about it, but she, you know, everybody keeps telling me don't feel terrible about it. It's just a thing that happens. So I broke there, and then I go home, I'm thinking about it. And it sat on me for maybe a week or two, maybe a little more than that. I was calling family, talking to them about it, trying to, you know, get my head straight. And then I get to the funeral, and I'm pretty good. I'm holding it together, holding it together, holding it together. And then I see his body in the casket, broke. You know, I broke down right then and there. And then we get to the repass or whatever you call it. He was in the military. He was a vet, and they played taps. That's what it's called. And I broke then too. I was like, oof. So death, I really thought I could just keep it, you know, cool, calm, collected. This is the way I like to handle myself anyway. I thought I could keep it cool, calm, and collected throughout the whole process. But there was moments, like I just explained, where I broke a little bit because it's just, for me, I don't know. It's weird when you get somebody so close to you that you care so much about, whether the relationship was torn or not. It's still the caring of that person, and they're gone forever. It's one thing you're not talking to anybody. It's another thing when that person's gone forever, you can never talk to them again. They can't tell them you love them again. They can't tell you love them. They love you again. Like, that can never happen. So, I started a show playing Missing You by P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He's got a billion names. And Faith Evans. I think 112 did the hook, but I can't. I don't know for sure. Anyway, point is, I play that song every time somebody passes. It's my favorite song because that's when Biggie had passed and Puffy was mad and his whole crew was upset. And that's a beautiful song because you can't turn back the hands of time. You can't go back to when you hung out. I can't go back to my uncle. Like, hey, Dad, you know, come home with a handle. Come home. Come to my mother's house with a handle of rum in his hand. Happy is all out. Give you hugs. Tell how much he love you. I can't go back to that anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. That's the weirdest thing about death is that we all got to go. We're all going. We're all gone eventually. Today, tomorrow, whenever, years from now, 20 years from now, we all got to go. But just because it's so such a cycle and something that happens so often, like somebody's literally dying as I'm talking to you right now, or dying or dead or had died. I'm sorry to be that morbid, but it's true. It happens so much, you would think we'd be used to it by now. And I'm never used to it. I never, especially, like I said, when, depending on how close someone is to me, is how much it affects me and how much it sits on me. So if a good friend dies or my significant other dies, boom, gone. But I'm, oh my goodness, I don't even know how it would be. Like I said, boom, gone, because that's where my brain would go. So it's just, I just wish I could handle it completely, but like my family tells me, it's okay because I'm being human. So it's okay to be upset. That's what people do, is get upset during these moments, and I get that. It's unavoidable. And I had, it made me, and I also thought about it because I had a dream also about me and one of my closest friends. And my dreams are vivid. And if I'm being completely honest with you, which I try to be, I had, whenever I take like some cough medicine or something to go to bed, for some reason my dreams get like out there. Like normally my dreams are just like almost so boring you wouldn't believe it, but I still have them. And I had a dream that one of my closest friends had set me up mafia mob style, where me and him were hanging out and having a good time and joking and laughing and reminiscing. This is one of my closest friends. I love him like a brother, but me and him just, it hasn't been good recently. And it's not even in the sense I did anything wrong to him or he did anything wrong to me. It's just when people, how can I put it? When people feel a certain way, the ego is strong, and we both have egos, and neither one of us is willing to relent to the other, so we just haven't been close as we used to be. And me and him were hanging out in the dream, you know, doing our thing, having a good time, joking, laughing, reminiscing. I go to say bye to him. He's leaving out. He's in his car, and he's sitting there, and I'm, you know, dapping him up or, you know, give him a handshake, as other people may say. And I go to walk backwards, and he pulls out a gun and just starts unloading on me, unloading on me. And I vividly remember it. This dream, this is a dream from two or three nights ago. I vividly remember it like it was yesterday. It's the weirdest thing. And in my dreams sometimes, I go, this is a dream. This is not real. I'm going to wake up. But that felt like my best friend, is one of my best friends and my closest friend anyway, because I really don't know what that means in a, as an adult, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. So, yeah, one of my closest friends had shot me down, and I didn't die. And I didn't die. I went through rehab. My parents, my significant other was there. My parents were there, and they were literally trying to I made it through. Like, I was in the hospital bed, breathing through the tubes, still trying to cling on with life. And then I finally rehabbed through, and I woke up. That whole day, when I woke up until right now, I felt like I had a second chance of life, dream or no dream. And so it was just, it's just weird how death can also make you feel like you have, like if you got near-death experience. I just had a dream. And that experience of death in a dream made me want to appreciate the day. And so when I talk about my family or my uncle passing and death, I think, man, it's a shame. I wish I could have him here, but it makes me appreciate being alive so much more. So that's what I try to do with it. It just be sad in the moment, but thank goodness that I still have an opportunity to live a pretty decent life, pretty decent. I ain't even giving them credit. I have a pretty great to good life, and we all got to go. I guess the point is just to enjoy it in between the time of being born and dying, like have a ball in between and appreciate the little things. I've gone over stuff like that all the time, so I'm not going to keep beating on that. But, yeah, death makes me upset, but death also makes me appreciate, like, how I still have another day. Like, carpe diem, did I mispronounce that? Probably. Just seize the day, And then if you wake up, I like to look at it like this. Every day, and I've stole some of this from a different quote. So it's not all mine, but I like to just mix and match things from my own personal quotes. Treat every day like you're the movie. This is a movie that you're in. And how do you want the movie to go? So instead of saying to yourself, the movie is a terrible movie, or, oh, God, here we go again. I got work tomorrow. I think that, too. But maybe some days, every day, it's like, oh, what's this movie going to be about today? Even if it's a boring, same old routine, get up, shower, brush your teeth, take care of your business, go to work or work from home or take care of kids or whatever you do in the morning, which is routine. See how that movie is going to be. Maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't, but at least you're alive.